Can you hear me? How's that for sound? I'm trying to get Carol's way. Carol's way works for Carol. How's that?
It's clear, but it's soft.
Is this still soft? Need to project it a bit. Okay. Let us project. I'm just commenting on the sighing, you know, that I've been hearing. It tenderizes the heart to hear the sighing and to look at how faces have relaxed and softened over the time here together, all of us, no doubt. It's quite a trip, isn't it? It's retreat business. It's quite the work.
Yeah.
And we cover all these different readings and teachings and pathways here and pathways there. And then we just try to come back to the simplicity of the path. And each of us finding our own way, our own keys, if you like. Yeah. The Buddha says many things in his teachings, but one of the very common refrains at the very beginning of many suttas, and he's giving a graduated teaching. He's advising where these roots of trees. And what's the first thing that we do at the root of our tree or some other conducive place like the Diamond Hall here? What do we do? We set mindfulness before us. That's the key to the ignition that gets the whole path in motion. And Upasaka Ghi reminds us, awareness comes first. She says we must make sure that awareness comes first. It's not a heavy job. It's not requiring a lot of heavy lifting. It's not poor Sisyphus with the boulder having to run it up the hill only to see just as it nears the top, it rolls back down. Awareness, as we know, is always here and now. It's always here. It's a question of where and how we direct attention. When mindfulness comes first, the whole path unfolds when awareness comes first. That's when we forget, that's when we ignore awareness, when we're in ignorance. Ignorance of the way things are, that we get lost, we get caught up in the coming and going, the bubbling mud, the changing process. Some of you may have seen on YouTube the coloured card trick. You seen that? So I'm about to ruin it for every single one. It will never be the same when you watch it, because it's clever. It starts with, there's two people there, and this guy says, we're going to show you this amazing coloured card trick. So immediately with the word amazing, we're in and we're focusing on the cards. Yeah? He spreads the cards out. He draws attention to the fact that they are blue-backed cards. And he asks his partner in this trick to select a card, which she does. She turns it over, they point out the colour. It's a three of diamonds, so it's red. Then the cards get mixed back into the pack. It's spread out again on the table. Pulls out three of diamonds and shows, once again, red card, blue back. Only the thing is, all the other cards have a red back. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So it depends on how you've been placing your attention, because you know what else happens in the middle of all of that? The colour of the clothes of those two change, the colour of the tabletop the cards are on changes, the colour of the backdrop changes. And most people do not see that. So I sent this to someone in my family who's reputed for being deeply observant. They did not see the colour changes all around because they were focused in on the trick. They wanted to work out the trick. And this is what, so I'm sorry I ruined that for you now. You're going to Google it and all you'll see is the colour changes of the clothes and the tablecloth and the bag. But it is interesting. And then they pan back and they say, that wasn't really the trick, the colour trick. And then they show how it was made and how quickly everything changes, but the focus is on the cards. So if awareness comes first, the attention isn't on the contrast trick. We get the whole picture. We're not taken in by the trick, by the sleight of hand. We can still enjoy it if we want to, or find it a bit lame if that's what we want, but we're no longer believing it. And once you've seen through it, if you've seen, really seen through it, you never ever fall for it again. That's how it works. But without awareness, all of the attention is caught up in the changing process. The changes, however, are always pointing their way back. If we just pay attention. I mean, just listen into your own experience to see if that's true. Just pulling something out of my pocket. We've been drinking some teas, different teas, over this period of retreat. Lovely different teas that have been given to us. There's one set of teas that have tags on them with little opinions on them. And we've been sharing these. And the last two that came out, the only constant is change. And may you create peaceful harmony as your life's purpose. So the first and fourth noble truth right there. Even the tea bags are pointed to. Everything points back. We could, you know, live our lives metaphorically watching that colour trick and missing the colour changes in the background. We could spend our whole life with attention on the changing process but without awareness of it as changing process. And so we're caught. We keep being born, existing and dying on the random passing parade of circus animals and tricks that come in through the mind. Yeah. Have you ever stopped and thought, where did this thought come from? And where is this thought going to? You ever wondered? Got any answers? Everything arises, or everything that is subject to arising, comes through causes and conditions. Yeah. Sometimes thoughts are harder to see in that way. You can look out at the beautiful forest, see the leaves falling, they turn the colour, they fall, and we get it. We can get that. We don't have a lot of skin in that game. Yeah. At worst, it means it's getting a bit cold if we don't want that. At best, it's beautiful change of season. Yeah. Causes and conditions give rise to those changes. But these thoughts that we often think are so precious, right? It almost makes me think of those snow domes. You know those little game, those snow domes? they're covered over, they're full of water. Maybe there's a Santa Claus or a sleigh or a Christmas tree. You shake it up, you set it down, and all the snow falls. Or really little particles of plastic, actually. Giving the illusion of a lovely little scene. Sorry if that's a spoiler. And so if we shake up our own little snow dome, it's a bit like that. That thoughts come in based on what the eyes have picked up, what the ears have picked up, what's touched the body, what's come through as scent, as taste, and previous thoughts. That's a pretty random package, isn't it? I mean, who has control in that sense? And yet we fall for them. Some thoughts we can laugh off a little bit, but often we, for a very long time, go on a very long and winding trip with these thoughts, getting born, arising and dying on them, becoming that for a while. A kind of daily tragedy, really. And the mind's so powerful. And the thinking faculty is powerful and beneficial if we're not in servitude to it. Imagine if we came to see that the thoughts arise just like clouds through a sky. And instead of riding on the clouds and raining and falling and all that happens there, that process, we're the sky. Our allegiance is with the space within which all of that happens. Imagine the difference to our experience. And that's some of what we've been practicing. It's what we've been cultivating. But we don't have to make hard work out of this setting forth of mindfulness, of ensuring that awareness comes first. It's right here. Yeah. Right here, every single person in this room, unless you're completely unconsciously asleep, in which case, congratulations, because you've mastered the art while sitting upright. Everyone knows they're in the room without having to form that sentence or give it much thought. Just that simple quality of knowing. That's always present. It's not the conceptual knowing, not the know-all knowing, it's awareness. And we just learn to be with awareness again and again, and we do that moment to moment. Awareness isn't something we can pick up and hold. We can't grasp it. It's very hard to draw it, make a film about it. Awareness isn't tangible in those ways. All we can do is be it, moment to moment. And then awareness does all the work. When awareness is present, we see the path, right? We see changing process when awareness comes first. We're established in awareness, not in some super duper best there is way, just we're here now for this moment, there's awareness, awareness is present. And from awareness can be seen the itch that arises, lingers for a while and dissolves, the thought that pops through, the sound that vibrates into the body. From awareness, we see the first noble truth, that changing process that is suffering. When we notice that thought disappearing, the itch dissolving, we see the third noble truth, cessation. If we've been stuck on a thought for a while or a mood, we put force and effort, and we let it go somehow. We see the second and third noble truths, that they're the cause of suffering, the cessation of suffering. And with awareness, there's the path. And the fourth noble truth. We may not always see it or know it. Remember, I was speaking about it this morning, that when we're cultivating in this way, in fact, through the course of this retreat, the first path factor of the Eightfold Path, right understanding, we've understood those four noble truths to some extent. There's suffering. There is a way out of it. It has a cause, it ceases. There's a way. And that's what brings us here. So that understanding can deepen, but to some degree, we've cultivated that path factor. We're cultivating it. And with that comes a sort of, it might be implicit, it's often an explicit intention. Well, then let's do something about this. Let's stop driving all these thoughts and moods and this selfing. Let's stop at least causing any harm. Let's work on letting go of some of this. And that's right intention right there. We've been practicing in noble silence. So there's a lot less external speech going on, at least from you. Can't say the same from this side of the room, but you've been in noble silence. And so you're cultivating that third path factor of right speech. And hopefully not stirring up too much negative self-talk. Even a tiny bit less. Cultivating that path factor. What about action? Right action. We're coming into the hall together at certain times. We're speaking and listening to Dhamma. We're trying to put it into practice, or we are putting it into practice. Fourth path factor, being cultivated. Livelihood. Same thing, while we're here as retreatants. We're practicing Dhamma as our livelihood. Very definition of right livelihood. There's five path factors right there going on again and again. Through each day, with each of us. We're creating this, or we're cultivating this path. It helps to be aware, it can help to know about these factors, of course, but they're happening anyway because it's a natural process. And then the wisdom factors on the path. Mindfulness, right effort, and the gathering of the mind. The very description of what we've been cultivating. So certainly we know in your lives you've been practicing in this way, but absolutely through this retreat we've all been cultivating the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path. Really important to consider the work done. It's not in a selfing process. Let's pat ourselves on the back. It's to really integrate the fruits of the practice and deepen the motivation. One of the people who heard that there's not many staff on today at Cloud Mountain, and you went and you offered Jen a hand. She was bubbling over with qualities of the heart, because I went in to check in and see how she was going. People have been offering her help all day. These actions that arise from a heart of loving kindness, of compassion. Maybe you're someone who's founded a retreat center and runs it. Making it possible for hundreds, thousands of people to cultivate in this way. maintaining the buildings, building them, maintaining them, cleaning them, the beautiful forest, the paths that have been cleared, all the imprints of generosity and ethical living that are evident in our own lives. You know, do you support people to learn? Do you help people with their physical health, their mental health? Yeah. Do you raise a family? Do you share your Dhamma wisdom and lifestyle with others in all friendship groups? Call your mum and dad or your kids or your grandkids on their birthdays, all the many, many different ways that we're offering time, heart qualities, our generosity. What does that feel like when you recall that? Not what goes on in the thinking mind, just what does it feel like in the body? Maybe there's an uplift, a tingling, a kind of yes in the body, yes to this way of living. And so when we set mindfulness before us, when we ensure that awareness comes first, all of this is open, the path opens up. We just have to attune to it. Come out of ideas of what it might look like. Come into the experience of what it's actually like. So when awareness comes first, there's a kind of sometimes a tingling feeling of coming home. Maybe you feel a lightness, an expanded sense of your experience. There's just more space. We might become aware of little areas of tightness, congealing of energy in parts of the body or the mind. That's not awareness doing that congealing, that's awareness shedding light. And under the influence of awareness, things tend to smooth out, given time. As we rest into awareness, can you notice how the Brahma-Vihara, the heart qualities, are innately part of that experience? Yeah. We might say, right there at awareness, there's the quality of kindness. We just need to notice it. The quality of compassion, joy, equanimity, evenness. The Buddha didn't make this stuff up. The Buddha uncovered what had been lost to human understanding. These Brahma-Vihara are at the very core of the heart. They're our natural qualities. When our allegiance is with awareness, when awareness comes first, these qualities are right here. So if it's been a bit tough, if it's been all you can do to just keep showing up here and not running away, if it's been all you can do to avoid drowning in some of the losses and pain, then is it possible now to simply rest in that quality of compassion that's right here in awareness? If the thoughts have been negative, tormenting, or just a low level nya, unpleasantness, may now be held in that quality of kindness, loving kindness that's right here in awareness. It's all felt a little bit dry at times. Can we drink in the juice of joy, sympathetic joy? Really feeling it energetically washing through the body just by attuning to it in awareness. And if it's all been a little bit giddying, can we rest into the stillness of an even mind that doesn't want to react? Settling back into these beautiful qualities right here at awareness.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.